Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing, and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language, because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. And don't forget to look at the show notes below for resources on this topic. A quick clarification before we begin the episode, and that is that with very young children, we use standing lines to refer to vertical lines and sleeping lines to refer to horizontal lines. So a pattern like standing line, sleeping line means a vertical line followed by a horizontal line, followed by a vertical line and a horizontal line. I hope this clarifies your listening experience. Raising children comes with its unique set of dilemmas. Raising a child who is deaf or hard of hearing has its own unique characteristics. So what can help us pull all this together on a daily and then on an ongoing basis? That brings us to the discussion on consistency. I love our workshops at Sound Steps. The topic is often one that participating families choose, and the conversations are lively and unpredictable. Partnering me in this conversation on consistency, does our child need it? Are three enthusiastic couples. So let's jump right in and join them. So what do we mean by consistency?
Right things every time.
For on a systematic, you know, like system. On a regular basis. Like it has to be like brushing the teeth.
Doing something what is expected out of you all the time.
I think we had another thought here at my end of the table.
Events can happen on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, but whenever it happens, how you tackle that event, whether it is the right way or the wrong way, that doesn't matter.
And it needs to be the same. It needs to be the same. So the response needs to be the same over time, over different permutations and combinations for that same situation. Consistency talks about our response to an event over time.
And we were saying that that response needs to be the same.
Yeah.
Even if there are permutations and combinations in which it occurs.
That's the biggest challenge, right? Because, I mean, parenting theoretically should be instinctive. If it's instinctive, if it's based on your own personal value system, then it's automatic and you're consistent. But more often than not, our instincts, till we came to you, were not necessarily correct.
Effective and collective.
Okay, yeah, that's a better word. They weren't effective because our instincts themselves were not consistent, because that is the atmosphere we had ourselves grown up in. I mean, culturally, things change, times change, everything. And being broad-based inconsistency, I feel, is the biggest challenge, because, like, today I'll come to you and I'll learn, okay, I should talk to her in this fashion. I wouldn't necessarily apply it as well into every other area that needs to extend into, including how I live with my older child. And okay, I'm coming to you regularly, so this is becoming instinctive for me, but the challenge is for my husband and for the rest of the family members to absorb the value which is underlying all the instances for which I want that. It's the value that has to be consistent, right?
That do I have a loop put to it?
Yeah, the core of that, whatever else it is, has to be consistent. And that is chances to get people to, and just to add to that, also, when you want to be consistent, some thought has to be put behind it. So you have to maybe
plan.
Yes.
Yes. It's basically SOP. We're talking about two situations. One in which it is, as you said, instinctive. So if it's instinctive, there's not that much planning because it's kind of spontaneous. Right? But for some of us, it may not be instinctive. So till such time as it becomes spontaneous, we need P. It begins with P. I. Practice. Till such time as what we call up in education, something called automaticity. That means till it becomes automatic. It's like learning to cycle, where I'm 18 years old and I've never learned to cycle. Right? It may take longer than someone who was raised with a cycle from the age of dot. So maybe, yes, I have to practice harder. But there will come a time when, with sufficient practice, I will reach that level of automaticity. And the more I practice, faster I will come to that level of automaticity. And similarly, the other person in the relationship, okay, if we are moving in tandem, then we are both at the level of automaticity and therefore we can go forward. Sometimes that doesn't happen. So one is moving at a different speed than the other. But then that's what I'm here for, to get us going like the cogs of a well-oiled machine.
Does that ever happen? That people are working in tandem?
I'd like to think so. I give my life
more. I mean, Addy, with parents who are coming to you. Both are working in tandem and they reach automaticity together.
To different extents, yes. I don't know. I think by the time graduation comes along, there is a higher level of moving in tandem.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you start at maybe 10 or 20%, it's at least 70-80% by the kind of
the journey, I don't think, is together. Yeah, of way of this.
The one thing could be
even in married life, isn't it? I mean, it is true that we have partners moving at different paces.
But by the time you actually start moving synchronously, it can take longer. And that doesn't mean that the relationship is doomed. It's just, it's evolving. I mean, the way I like to look at it is that it's an evolving relationship with your child.
I guess not only child, everyone in the family.
Yes. And their relationship.
Why is it so important? Because a child, okay, to avoid confusion, to create a clear value base within themselves.
Yes. And therefore, once that value base is created, one can
make the correct choices.
Yes. And extrapolate more.
Maybe the child likely to be focused, you know, like consistent. That
would apply that to life. So therefore, to your worldview.
Yeah.
To your worldview.
And also would be a more, confident, you know, clear-minded individual.
Yes, yes. Especially in dilemmas.
Would be where the decisions, independently. So let me give you an example. We have a 10-year-old child with us, or 8-year-old child.
You have this major world tournament going on, and India is in a situation where in either way, it's going to tip. Okay. And the prime time, 7:00, okay, is the show, is the final match, right? And the match is going to end at 9:00. And we have the history examination tomorrow.
Okay.
So now, what would you like your child to do?
So what I would have done.
And you don't have to agree with your spouse, okay?
When do we know about this exam?
You can decide.
Whenever we know about it, that day you are born. Because if you're that into cricket and you're getting into quarterfinals, you know there's a possibility of the final. Somewhere, you know, you're having the text. Study up. Then you can watch, you know, study it, you know.
So what would you like your child to do?
While I would also report the munch.
I would also record the match. So now, the match has started and it gets rained out. Okay? And plays suspended for 2 hours. Match resuming, no one really knows. It's going to be viewed about opening like 10:30, 11. Now what?
Still not allow her to watch because it'll be 10:30 in the night. What time it will go on till then? How would you wake up in the morning?
Yeah, might as well go to sleep. These things.
So I just record it in that case.
Okay, and the majority of the class is got permission to stay and watch this match.
That's the problem.
Yes, that is the pattern.
We had it wrong. Then the rules of this house are don't watch. So it goes like no. If everybody can do it, why can't I? So then, even if it is wrong, this is the rule of this house, and this is how we. But why does that mama not say, and why does that father not say, and why do you say it, and why do you act so strict?
Without consistency, kids have a hard time controlling themselves and controlling their own behavior.
In my opinion, balance is the key.
True.
Balance is the key. As far as, a larger perspective, the child is doing well in studies.
So let me just wrap this up. So we have a controversy here where one parent is saying, stay up and I'll wake you up the next morning. I like that because the thing is that if you are saying that, yes, I will, that you can stay up, but I am responsible for waking you up the next morning. But then when I wake you up, you will wake up.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that if you see yourself as having to bend rather than submit, right? But you set up a system. Okay, where there is a fall, like there's a catch, there's a you were holding the child.
So yeah, two situation compensating.
Yeah, they kind of balance out, right? But then we take the responsibility of actually following through on it, especially in a situation where our spouse may not be supportive. Okay, so what I'm saying is that, so you have a fallback, okay? If that creates some situation where you are containing and supporting that child. amongst yourselves. You can even say to each other, excuse me, I think we need to discuss this issue.
You know, because ultimately you're bringing up an individual and not a robotic child who has to just listen to everything you say. The child has their own preferences, emotions, feels. And what's most important for the child is to have this belief that the parents as a unit, either one of them or various occasions, are there to support you even when you fall.
My ideal would be if my child said, I need to study for my test because I haven't studied or this is an important test and I will not watch. I'll come and go maybe a little bit and I'm up to sit and watch the match. When does that happen or how does that happen? If one has been raised with consistency, it's not going to happen by itself.
What my focus would therefore be that once we get that relationship in place, that is actually what this workshop is about. That we, and I'm coming back to your point of providing that love and stability, right? That even when my parents are not there, or even when my children, when my parents oppose me, because believe me, as they grow older, there will be lots of those situations, they have my better interests at heart. And I don't doubt that. Yes, it's not easy to hear what I'm hearing from them. But I don't feel less loved. And I don't feel that I am being wronged. That is the stability. Suppose if I drink, standing mind, what comes next?
Vermont. Obscure. That's what that one.
We can have a standing line, Ravak, standing by hand.
Just so I'll stick by myself.
It's a trick question.
The pattern that is established. What makes you say the pattern is established? Because you've been with the standing line.
So I know what's between two standing lines is it.
And suppose how I did, then I would put a standing line.
Yeah, so that's what consistency is all about, the pattern.
And now, suppose if I say, Standing line round.
Literally no confusion.
Now there is no confusion. You have to say standing line if you are a logical human being. That's the consistency. That's what I mean by setting the pattern. This is like you said, it depends. The pattern is not sufficiently established. Anything could happen after that. But when I go like standing then round.
Consistency.
That is consistency. Because we're talking about life and things are not so simple in life. No one can predict how many times you need to go standing then round.
And like I say with children with a hearing loss, till such time as the child starts using the word, we cannot assume that we have done enough. Maybe for child A, you need to do it 3 times. Maybe for child B, you need to do it 50 times. Well, then we do it 50 times because the whole aim, and that's why all of us are here, is that the child learns. And we're talking about behavior. The aim is that the child learns the behavior. So whatever it takes, and however many times that pattern needs to repeat itself, we need to provide the consistency, that sameness of pattern.
And so the conversations continue. Thank you so much for your time and interest and for listening to this episode all the way to the end. The one thought I'd like to leave you with is the knowledge that consistency brings order into the day and life of our child. And with that order comes the ability to predict, allowing our child to feel a sense of security because he knows what to expect. And the most important application of consistency is that we are consistent in our follow-up, in the manner and the rigor and the diligence and regularity with which we follow up on weekly targets. That makes all the difference. And coming up next on this podcast is generalization. So keep your ears peeled and come join us. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.